This reading from Romans is on page 1131, excuse me, it commences at chapter 7. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who is raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Amanda, for reading that Genesis reading. All of those people's names, which you did very well with. Very, very well. I apologise, I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat, which is difficult when you've already got a plum in your mouth. And so if you miss something, I'm sorry, there are scripts out on the back table as well. But let's all pray as we come to God's word and to thinking about it. Thank you, Father God, for your word to us. Thank you so much that you speak to us. Thank you so much that you show us Jesus Christ. And we pray this morning you might show us our Lord and Saviour and show us the life that we have in him and how we might live and bear fruit for him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you in this room are old enough to have had this experience. Remember your last day of school. Your last day of school. Remember that feeling. How did you feel? There may have been a mixture of sorrow, sorrow because it's the end, your time of your friends has changed and there's a change to your routines, but surely there was also a sense of freedom. Freedom, no more homework, no more exams, at least for a while, no more subjects that you didn't want to have to do, no more English on a Monday first period, no more rowdy classes and getting into trouble, no longer bound to school. You're free. Some of you might have to imagine this next one, but imagine the day, if it ever happened, you became debt-free. Final payment made on a student loan, final payment made in your mortgage. How would that feel? No longer bound to a mortgage. You're free. Your income is free to go towards something else other than just paying off someone else. Freedom. Or, again, some of you may have to imagine this one. Imagine your final day of work, the beginning of your retirement. How do you feel? How did you feel? Aside from that nagging question of, what on earth am I going to do with myself, which may not have happened, you would have that sense of freedom. No more setting your alarm clock. No more deadlines. No more answering to other people. No longer bound to work, you're free. No more cramming your projects into one Saturday, but being able to spread them across the week. No longer bound, you're free. Freedom. That is the theme of what we've been looking at recently in Romans. Freedom we have seen so much in chapter 6 of Romans. This is where we've been in the last few weeks. It's in your Bibles, page 1131. We are free. We read in chapter 6, verse 6, that we are no longer slaves to sin. we read that we have died to sin once for all, verse 10 of chapter 6. Verse 18 of chapter 6, we read that we have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And verse 22, we have become slaves of God. We are free. We are no longer bound to death and to sin. We are free, free to serve God, free to be slaves. And what Michael just read for us now from Romans 7, 1 to 6, repeats a lot of that language. From chapter 6, you could say that we have died to sin, we have been set free from sin, and we are slaves of righteousness. Chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, says we have died to the law. We have been released from the law, and we now bear fruit for God. It says very similar things, but it's just removed the word sin and inserted the word law. So what can we learn this morning? Is Paul repeating himself? If so, why? What difference does it make that we have died to the law? And what does that mean? These are actually very important questions for us to be thinking about, our relationship to the law. It's something important for us to consider. How do we act? How do we obey? What is our relationship to God's law? Do we have that sense of freedom like you may have had on your final day of school? I'm no longer bound. I'm free. I'm no longer burdened. How does it feel? How do you feel in your relationship to law? Many of us face one of two dangers. We face a danger of what's called legalism, where we'll rest on our achievements and our law keeping. And we can look at that and we say, well, that's how I'm in favor with God, because of what I'm doing and what I have done. Another danger is what's often called antinomianism, which is a long word, but it is kind of the opposite. I'm forgiven, I'm free, I can do whatever I want, I don't really care about it either. And no real concept of obeying. And so we're facing these two dangers. Do we become legalistic or antinomian? How do we relate to God's law? How do we think about it? These six verses, though hard to get our heads around, are quite straightforward in what they say. Verses 1 to 3 of Romans 7 give us an illustration, an example from a marriage that is brought to an end by death. And then verses 4 to 6 apply that illustration to us as Christians, as Christian brothers and sisters. It is applied to us. Two main ideas. The main ideas being we have been unbound by death. And we have been bound to Jesus. And so that's what we're going to look at, one idea at a time. Unbound by death, bound to Jesus. Unbound by death. Look at verse 1, bottom of page 1131. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. Only as long as they live. The law applies until death breaks the relationship. And the illustration that it uses, that Paul uses here, is of a marriage. Verse 2, for example, by law a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she's called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. Death brings an end to a relationship. And that's a very sad thing for us to think about, and many of us have actually been in that situation of death bringing end to a relationship. I want to pause and acknowledge the sadness of that. But the way that Paul is using this as an example is to say that death, bringing an end to the relationship, has brought a freedom from the law. Richard Chin, who spoke at the men's convention during the week, he is a widower. He lost his wife very sadly, his wife of 23 years, Bronwyn. She died from cancer. And he was a widower. He's only in the last year remarried to someone else called Jeanette. Now, if Richard Chin had left Bronwyn while she was still alive to be with Jeanette, then, well, he'd be an adulterer. That's in the law of God. That is, he's left his wife for another woman. But because Bronwyn died, he was free. As tragic as her death was, it freedom from the laws around that marriage. The marriage was, well, had come to an end. And so when he married Jeanette last year, he was free to do so. Death brought an end to the relationship. It freed them from that law. And the reason why he's saying this is verse 4. We have been unbound from the law. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. You died to the law. Don't think about the metaphor too much. It's a bit of a mixed metaphor when we're the ones who've died, but now we're free to marry again. That gets confusing. But the point is, death has brought an end to the relationship. That death was Jesus' death. And 2 weeks ago we heard from Romans 6 that we have been joined with Jesus in his death. We died when he died. Our body hangs on the cross. Our old self, our sin, is dead. You died to the law through the body of Christ. You have been unbound from the law. Now, there are a couple of questions and problems with that that we might have. The first question is, what law? What law have we died to? It seems clear from the context that the law is the law of Moses, the Jewish law, the law of God, the law given in the Old Testament. The law of works, as it's described earlier on in chapter 3 of Romans. But was I ever bound to that law in the first place? I'm going to be honest. I haven't been circumcised. I've never done anything special on a Saturday to keep it clear and to keep it holy. I eat bacon, and I always have done. And I've been raised to a different moral standard. I don't feel like I've ever been bound to that law in that sense. But, therefore, does it mean I've died to the law or not? I have. Paul is writing to Jews and to Gentiles, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And he's made very clear to them they've all been in the same boat. They're all subject to death. They're all condemned for breaking God's law, whether they had the law given to them or whether they broke the law written on their hearts and against their conscience. I may have not been raised as a Jew and have died to the law in that sense, but I have been unbound from the law. I am freed from the condemnation that comes from it. Which raises another question. If the law is God's, surely the law is good. And so what's the problem of being bound to the law? What is so bad about being bound to something good? If God tells me to do something, I should do it, surely. What's wrong about being set free from that? What's good about dying to that? Well, it's a question to ask, but you see the language that Paul talks about the law, and it's so negative. I've already shown how the language he uses of sin in chapter 6, we've died to it, and we've been set free from it. It's the same language used here in chapter 7 for the law. We've died to the law, and we've been released from it. There's another similarity in the language in verse 1. He speaks about the law having authority over someone. And it's not clear here in our NIVs, but that's the same word used as in verse 9 and verse 14. And in verse 9, it speaks about death having mastery over someone. And verse 14, it talks about sin having mastery over someone. Paul is speaking about the law in the same terms as he's speaking about sin and death. And those are negative things, aren't they? The point he's making is that Jesus' death and our faith in him has set us free from three terrible masters, three terrible marriages, sin, death, and the law. Does that make the law bad? No. And David will answer that for us in a couple of weeks' time as we go through the rest of chapter 7. But there are a good few things that we can talk about now is why it is good for us to have been unbound by death from the law. Firstly, it is good because the law condemns us. We are condemned by the law. This is the 21st sermon we've had in Romans. I don't know if you've realized that this year. 21st sermon in Romans. And so it may feel like a very long time ago to think back to chapters 1 to 3. But if you can think back to chapters 1 to 3, to the start of the year, you may remember how gloomy the picture was when speaking about humanity. And how gloomy it was thinking about how we go when we try to keep God's law. And how we go at attaining heaven and achieving righteousness. We cannot be declared righteous in God's sight. In fact, the more we try to keep the law, the more it exposes our sinfulness. All the law does is point out that we should die for not keeping it. It is good to have been released from the law, to have been unbound by death, because by the law we are condemned. It is good because the influence of the law is external. It is outside in. Have a look at verse 6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. That's how the law is described there, the written code. It's by nature external to us. It is something that we observe. And it does not work in us in the same way that the Spirit of God works in us. The influence of the law is outside in. And therefore it has its limitations. And therefore it leads to the other reason why it is good for us to be unbound from the law by death. Look at verse 5. The law brings about sin in us. Verse 5, when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law, sinful passions of the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. The law led us to sin in some way. You all know about the wet paint, do not touch theory. How it is that we are so compelled to do what we've just been told not to do. It is interesting, isn't it? There are other theories that go with our response to rules and to the law. There's the how far can I go rule. Sure, the sign says wet paint, do not touch. It doesn't say stand as close as I can so I can lick it. So maybe I can do that. How far can I go? It says don't murder. It doesn't say don't do anything to a person up until the point of murder. Does that mean I can beat someone up? We have, that's a bit of an extreme example, but we do have that how far can I go mentality to law, can't we? Or maybe it's the law shows us, well, that's something I'll get caught for. So I can do what I won't get caught for. I'm not going to try breaking into Countdown over the road because I'll be very bad at it and I'll most likely get caught. And for me, badly, that's often my bigger motivation is I don't want to do it because I'll get caught. It's easier for me to illegally download music and films. I'm not going to get caught for that. So I don't feel the same reasoning to not do that. Do you get what I mean? So we have different responses to the law, but what the law does is it brings about bad in us. It brings about sin. The good news is that we have been unbound by death from the law. Jesus' death, we died with him, we are free. More free than we were when we had our last day of school. More free than we are when we have our first day of being debt-free. We are free. And therefore, we no longer look to the law for a remedy. We don't look to the law to save us or to make us better. So why do I keep going back to it? I'm someone who has a problem where, in my head, I know that I'm forgiven by Jesus. That his righteousness that saves me. And that when God looks at me, he sees Jesus' righteousness and forgives me. And I know I have an eternal hope of heaven. I know that in my head. But then if you look at my actions and my patterns, do I believe something different? Am I actually a legalist? Am I relying on my dependability, my generosity, my hospitality? Am I depending on that? Do I often think that I've done well, so God is happy with me? Well, actually, I often do end up thinking that. And when I fail, I am devastated. And I think God must be angry with me, and he cannot accept me. By my behavior and my patterns, I've become a legalist, even if I know in my head that Jesus has forgiven me. I keep coming back to the law as a remedy, and I don't know why. But perhaps the illustration that Paul used here in verses 2 and 3 of a marriage that came to an end is a helpful illustration for us. a lifelong relationship like that, that comes to an end, by whatever means, surely must take a lot of adjustment. I cannot speak from experience, and I don't know how it was for Richard Chin when he lost his wife. But how long it must have taken for him to get used to the idea that she wasn't around anymore, that he couldn't depend on her. He couldn't take a share with her in things around the house and with life. How much adjustment it would have taken to know that he's no longer married to her. And that must have been so hard. And here we are. We've now died to the law, and we belong to another. But how much adjustment does it take for us to get used to that idea that we no longer are bound to the law? Time and time again, we keep going back to it, don't we? But there is good news, friends. We are bound to Jesus. We are bound to Jesus. Unbound by death from the law, we are bound to Jesus. Verse 4, I'll read you the rest of the verse. You also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who is raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. We belong to Jesus. Set free from the law by death, we now belong to another. We belong to the one who was raised. Jesus was raised from the dead, and we died with him. We live with him. In chapter 6, we heard from verse 9 that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. He cannot die again, and therefore we cannot die again. And our relationship to Jesus is in a different league to any marriage or any relationship to the law. Because there is no till death do us part. He cannot die again. This is forever. This is us now, who we will be forever. We belong to Jesus. Nothing will change that. Death cannot bring an end to that. It is forever. We are bound to the one who is raised, to Jesus. And so, we are bound to serve him. Look at the end of verse 4. There's an in order purpose statement. In order that we might bear fruit for God. We are bound to Jesus to serve him. And again, this sounds very familiar to what we've been hearing recently. We were set free from sin. We have died to sin so that we might become slaves of righteousness. We have died to the law, been released from it, so that we might bear fruit for God. We are bound to Jesus to serve him. But that is not a bad thing. It is not like taking off one giant load of bricks from your back and putting on another one. It is good to be bound to serve Jesus. It is good because in him we find forgiveness. When we fail, when we mess up, we are not condemned. It was good that we are unbound from the law because it was in the law that we are condemned. In Jesus, we are not condemned by faith. It is good to be bound to Jesus to serve him because, unlike the law, his influence is internal. Verse 6, we serve in the new way of the Spirit. God's Spirit is in us. Jesus' Spirit is in us. He has not left us alone. We can be confident that we can do good. It is not an unattainable burden, but we can serve him. We can bear fruit for him. We can do good. We are bound to serve Jesus. And therefore, we look to him for the remedy, don't we? When we fail, we look to Jesus. When we are in need of help, we look to Jesus. When we are unsure and doubting, we look to Jesus. We look to him for the remedy. Imagine for a moment someone who has struggled with hay fever for decades. Their skin is blotchy, their head is full, their nose is continuously streaming, and there's a red mark on their mouth. I was going to put a picture up there, but then I thought you can just see my face, so it's fine. I don't actually struggle with hay fever that badly. But just imagine someone does. And they're never able to speak well or think well because they're just constantly under the cloud of this hay fever. And for decades, they've been doing what their grandmother told them to do. And each morning, they go to the cupboard, they take a jar of honey down, they take a spoon, and they eat that spoon of honey. local pollens, it's good for you. And it hasn't done a thing. They're still suffering decades later from hay fever. And one day they finally go to the doctor, and the doctor gives them antihistamines. And they start taking these antihistamines, and it actually does something. Their nose is clear, it's not running. Their head is clear. Their face feels clean. And they're free. So what do you think they do every time that they get up in the morning? And they go to the cupboard, and there's the jar of honey, and there is the bottle of antihistamines. Are they going to go back to the jar of honey and ignore the antihistamines? No. They know the remedy. And here we are with a choice. Do we go back to the law and looking at our own law-keeping and our own righteousness and our own achievement, and do we look at that as the solution, the way in which we can know we're accepted by God? No. We come to Jesus. Jesus who lived perfectly and died in our place, with whom we died, with whom we have life, to whom we belong. We are bound to serve him. And so finally, as we finish, I'll ask a similar question to what Dave asked us last week. Last week we were asked, who are we going to serve? In the words of Bob Dylan. Today, to whom are you going to bear fruit? That verb, bear fruit, was there in verse 4, and it was there in verse 5. Either we're going to bear fruit for God, or we're going to bear fruit for death. For whom are we going to bear fruit? Bearing fruit is something visible. It's something productive. It's serving God or serving death. Something that someone can see, and it's by nature connected to the one to whom you belong. I have an apple tree in our garden. I say our garden because Maria does most of the work with it. And it produces apples. But if I'm quite honest, I like apples, but I really like mandarins. If I got this mandarin, which I bought from Countdown this morning, and I found a way to staple it to my apple tree at home, is my apple tree going to start producing mandarins? Stop nodding, Calvin. It's not. Cool. It's going to produce apples. I can't staple this fruit that I want to bear to a tree that's not going to bear it. And we have to remember that when we think about bearing fruit for God or bearing fruit for death, it's not as simple as saying, okay, I need to be more generous, so I'll be more generous. I need to stop lying, so I'll stop lying. No, the fruit you bear is connected to the one you belong to. Your heart needs to be changed. You need to die with Jesus to sin, die with Jesus to the law. Has that happened for you? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Is he your number one? Is he the one you live for and the one you live to serve? And if it has happened for you, and you, like me, just struggle to do the right thing, struggle to bear fruit for God, well, keep coming back to Jesus. Keep coming back to him. Keep looking to him for the remedy. Keep looking to him for forgiveness, knowing that you belong to him. You've died with him. You live with him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, so much for the great news that we have of Jesus' death, of our death in Jesus' death, having been unbound from the law by death, having been bound to Jesus, your Son. May we live for him. May we seek to serve him. Please, Father, make us fruitful for him so that we might bring honor and glory and praise to you for Jesus' sake. Amen.